of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we wish to ponder a bit on those words of St. Paul just read in the third chapter of Romans. Perhaps it seems incongruous, dear friends, that I would make reference to the fact that 74 years ago, the Luther statue on our campus was dedicated down on South Jefferson Avenue in a great festival service that took place on a Sunday afternoon with a singing of two hymns particularly that are still the old all-time favorites of every Lutheran. You guess one, absolutely, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." But the second one also, 74 years ago, was extremely significant because it comes in the form of a prayer which prays, "Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word." As you know, our statue presents the heroic Luther who stood at the Diet of Worms in 1521 declaring those words, "Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise, God help me." And our statue tries to depict that heroic character of the Reformer by having built his bronze body 9 feet tall and setting that 9-foot statue on a 12-foot concrete of granite. We would like to emulate Luther. And in order to emulate him at that point where he stood at Worms, you and I also need to follow him up into the tower, the Turm Erlebnis, it is referred to, the experience that he had in the tower. For he was not a hero in his earlier years, as the haunting question was coming to him again and again, "How do I find a God who loves me and who favors me?" He tried fasting. He tried following the Augustinian rules down to the last comma and semicolon, and even boasted that he probably had followed these rules more circumspectly than anyone else. He even tried beating until he fell in exhaustion. But he found that God did not love him anymore as he felt the hunger pains and the growling in his stomach than he had before. Even if he felt the smarting of his beatings, he realized that God did not love him anymore. There must be more. And his father confessor, Stauffitz, directed him to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was almost as though he had directed him to this early section of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, particularly that favorite section of Martin Luther, which already comes in the first chapter, verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." What an enormous difference that made in his life. No more fasting, no more Pharisaical rules concocted for the Sabbath. 666 of them, to make sure that all bases would be covered by the demands self-imposed so that the individual could at least inch his way to a loving God. "The just shall live by faith." And that continued to grow and to blossom forth. That continued to bring a new light into his life. That continued to give him a new strength. That even opened up heaven as far as he was concerned, for he could see there the loving Heavenly Father through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text in the third chapter of Romans picks up particularly three favorite phrases of each one of us: by grace. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Nothing which we have done, nothing which we dare to contribute, will win that favor of God, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. St. Paul reminds us in this very section, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you want to see what that sin looks like? He talks about it earlier in this same chapter. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and this is what frightened Martin Luther. But then he also heard that God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here, St. Paul undoubtedly had the picture of the Ark of the Covenant in mind, as he saw inside that ark the tablets of God's holy law. But out on the cover, he saw the cherubim. And there annually the blood of sacrificial animals sprinkled as a token and symbol of the forgiveness that was to be yours and mine through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what St. Paul speaks of, whom God hath set, that is Christ, forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And so we say, by grace, for Christ's sake, it is our Lord Jesus Christ who did it, who stands between a righteous God and all of us as the forgiven sinners. But there is also a third expression which you and I particularly like, and that is that this has been done, or that we have received this forgiveness by faith. St. Paul says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. And then there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How beautifully Luther phrased that in his explanation of the second article. I believe in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. How marvelous it was for Martin Luther to hear those words, the just shall live by faith. Therefore, we conclude, he said with St. Paul, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You and I are not immune to doubt. You and I are not immune to developing our own kinds of techniques of gaining a favorable God. There have been times when we too have been tempted to concoct a certain series of rules by which to live, thinking that perhaps our God would love us just a bit more. But it is here as we try to emulate the heroic position of a Martin Luther, and as we are reminded by that statue on our campus, that we are particularly led more deeply into these marvelous words of inspiration, "The just shall live by faith." Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is where you and I receive innumerable blessings of our Heavenly Father, of peace in periods of turmoil, of comfort when there seems to be no word of comfort that can ever be spoken, of grace and of forgiveness when sins accuse us, of righteousness when we feel an overwhelming guilt of what happened yesterday or the day before, of life when even that seems to be ebbing out, of salvation for which we badly grope. See in your life and in mine that marvelous propitiation which our Lord Jesus Christ has given. Give the forgiveness in time and into all eternity. Amen.